Good morning, everybody. So glad that you're here. We continue in our sermon series on supply lines. You already heard it before. I want to say it one more time. Please fill out your Connect card, whether you do that online or with your card. And speaking of online, thank you for everyone who's joining us online. I'm glad we're here. We're talking about the support that you need, that I need, that we all need in our lives to do well. And I just want to encourage you. We've been going through this for a few weeks. What most of us do is we wait until something goes wrong and then we go, oh, I probably should go talk to someone. I should probably get someone in my life. And I want to encourage you, don't do that thing I hear so many people say where I go, you need to get more support. And they go, I'm good. And I go, what if you have more people in your life? Yeah, but that just seems like such a hassle to find more people in my life. And I don't really want to do that. And we're always going to love you and we're always going to be there for you, but please take my advice and get more support in your life. It's going to make a huge difference. It actually is going to unlock dreams because if you're hearing these things, it makes a huge difference. So you know my passion. I coach church planters. I wrote a whole book on this because the more driven you are, the more kind of like, I got to hit a goal, the less likely you are to get people in your life to support you, which then leads to a greater chance of burnout. So last week we talked about burnout. When our church plant first started, we were church plant about 14 years ago, just starting out, we had to do setup and tear down every week. And we had a whole stage to set up and everything else. And I want to make sure I was working. Everyone was working. My kids were working. Everyone was helping out. And after that went on for about a year though, our head of our setup team at the time, named Paul Kaiser, great friend, godly friend, came up and said to me, Scott, you need to stop helping out. And I said, well, look, I feel like I got to do my part. I feel like I got to do my job. And he goes, we're never going to know how many people we need on this team if you are always helping. And he said this, you have a job to do. It's not setting up. Do your job and let us do our job. And that like unlocked so much of my brain. I actually had to go back and think on that for months and months and months of what is my job on Sunday morning? What is that? How is that supposed to work? And it just opened up so much inside of me. And it was very strategic and it was very wise. And I don't want to ever be lazy. I don't want to ever not work. And you always got to do what is needed to be done. But sometimes you got to know not what can I do, but what is the best use of my time? What has God called me and made me to do? And you need strategic people in your life. You need practical people in your life. We've talked about the soul sharpeners, the people when you bring them a problem, they point you to Jesus. Strategic thinkers are not like that. They may talk about Jesus, but they're going to be like, here's how to fix this problem. Shut up, stop whining, let's fix this problem. Let's go, right? That's a little bit of a tail kicker too, right? And then you got the vision casters. Vision casters, they're different than strategic thinkers. They may sound strategic, but they're always about dreaming and what's next and how big can this become and where could this lead. Strategic thinkers may not be visionaries. They're just more about how do you actually deal with the thing you're bringing to me, right? And this is what happens is when you have something you need to talk about it with somebody else. And so today, what I want to get at, we're going to look at a story in the Bible. What I want to get at is, can you gain the wisdom of people who share your chair? And by share your chair, I mean, if you're at work, if you're a teacher, if you're a police officer, whatever you do, do you actually have, let's get that point up there, that can you actually soak in the wisdom of people who just get it? Or if you're saying, hey, I need advice for people who are newly married, we'll talk to people who are recently married. You don't have to have them in the exact same stage of life. You'd like them to have some more wisdom than you are. Get like a marriage mentor or a spiritual mentor or whatever that means. Can you actually get that connection with someone who shares your chair? Okay, that's what we're getting at today. And I just want to say to you, this is a church thing. This is a Bible thing. I think that some of us go, no, all I need to do is pray. And I go, that example is not in Scripture. In Scripture, they surrounded themselves with mentors and people who had walked there before. And that's the example we want to follow. We want to have wisdom. So let's pray. I'm going to tell you about one of those examples. We're going to study it together and we're going to unpack it. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for everybody here, everybody who's watching online. And Lord, we just pray that we can learn your wisdom. You have given us wise, strategic, practical people in our lives Help us to seek them out and help us to be humble enough to bring our questions to them. Even if we have answers, God, help us to be humble enough to ask them and get their perspective. Lord, I just pray that the people who are here will actually get more support in their lives. Lord, even if they're doing great right now, help us to just erase the lie that support is only from when our lives are falling apart. It's actually from when lives are going great and can help us do even bigger things for you. Lord, we love you. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, get a Bible. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. If you want to use one of our Bibles that we have out here, it's on page 387. I want to give you some context of what's going on here. Hezekiah was a king in Judah, which is the southern kingdom. He was faithful, but he wasn't perfect. He lived during the time of the prophet Isaiah, and there was a lot of unrest going on. But Hezekiah chose to get the nation back on track with the worship of the Lord, because the previous kings had not done that. So he did a religious reformation. He got people back with the Lord. He especially worked on celebrating the Lord's holidays, like taking time to rest. Anyone not doing so great with taking time to rest? People are like, I'm too tired to raise my hand. And then the other was, he really said, we need to take care of the religious leaders of the land. So if the leaders of the land aren't being supported, then you're not being emphasizing that. And then it tends to lead to further spiritual decline. So it kind of spirals down. But there's an actual physical, practical problem. There's this large empire at the time known as the Assyrian Empire, and they're pretty intent on taking over Israel, because Israel stands at a very important trade route. And if you control that trade route, you control all the money that goes through there. So they invaded the northern kingdom, Israel. They destroyed the northern kingdom, Israel, just like God predicted. And now they're knocking on the door of the southern kingdom, getting ready to put Jerusalem under siege. So the entire southern kingdom has been basically reduced to a city. So Hezekiah's faith is put to the test. Let's see what happens here. This is in verse 1 of chapter 32. After Hezekiah had faithfully carried out this work, that's the work of religious reformation, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified towns, giving orders for his army to break through their walls. And when Hezekiah realized that Sennacherib also intended to attack Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military advisors. What did he do? Consulted with his advisors and military officials. That's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to actually have supply lines in our lives. And they decided to stop the flow of springs outside the city. They organized a huge work crew to stop the flow of the springs, cutting off the brook that ran through the fields. For they said, why should the kings of Assyria come here and find plenty of water? Let me explain basically what they're doing. There's a spring that flowed up from Jerusalem, water kind of flowing up from the earth, and it would flow outside the city. And that's probably why Jerusalem was built where it was built, because there was a flow of water there. You need water. And so they decided, no, we're not going to have it flow outside the city. We're going to route it and reroute this flow of river inside the city so there's no water outside the city. That is strategy, right? You don't want the invading army to have a fresh supply of water. That's strategy. They're using strategy. But I want you not to miss this, because what a lot of us do is we go, I'm all strategy, and then I'll sprinkle a little prayer on top. Hezekiah didn't do that. Remember, he started with religious reform, and now he's using strategy. Many other of us go, you don't need any strategy. Strategy is not spiritual. God doesn't want you to have strategy. Just pray about it, and if you have any strategy, that's not of the Lord. And you go, that's not true. I can show you Hezekiah. I can show you the book of Proverbs. I can show you David. I can show you Jesus. I could show you Paul. I could show you example after example of people using strategy in the Bible. It's not one or the other. Erase that dichotomy from your brain. Delete the verbiage that you say to people of, stop using strategy, just pray about it. Say, and. Let's pray first. Prayer is the plow. And then let's use strategy afterwards. And then let's pray again. And then let's strategize again. And then let's pray again. Let's do both. Let's do them both together. Know that you're naturally going to lean one direction or the other, which is why you need supply lines. You need people to balance that out so you can do these things well. So then Hezekiah worked hard at repairing all the broken sections of the wall. erecting towers, constructing a second wall, that takes time, outside the first. He also reinforced the supporting terraces in the city of David and manufactured large number of weapons and shield. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before the square at the city gate. Don't miss this here. Strategy is going on. He's doing all this stuff. But then here's what he does. Hezekiah encouraged them by saying, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria or his mighty army, for there is a power far greater on our side. He used tons of strategy, but he didn't say, because we've done all this work, we're impenetrable. We're super strong. Look at all the work we've done. He didn't say that. That's wisdom. He did the strategy work. He worked hard, but then he pointed back to God. You see how that works? He didn't say, don't worry about it. We've done no work, but we have God on our side. Right? He did the strategy work, the practical work, and relied on the Lord. It's and. Okay? We have the Lord God. He may have a great army, but they're merely men. We have the Lord God to help us and fight our battles. And Hezekiah's words greatly encourage the people. That's what good leaders do. They know how to combine strategy and spirituality together to cast vision for people and help encourage them even when they're about to be attacked. That's what great leaders do. I've actually stood in this tunnel. This tunnel still exists to this day. And in the New Testament, we know of this new pool that they created. It's called the Pool of Siloam. That's where Jesus healed the man born blind in John chapter 9. That's the pool that Hezekiah created inside of the second wall. And that tunnel is still there. You can walk in it. And I got to walk in it and walk through it. And it's really kind of a fun little adventure. Some parts are up to your waist. Some parts you have to duck down. And you're thinking, this is the same thing that these guys are chiseling out of the wall or out of the rock. I got to stand there. And I love that our teacher took us through that and talked about this combination of faith in the Lord and strategic thinking. I love that he didn't give us a lesson in the pool, but like after we got through it, we kind of had this like, let's unpack this together. And I tell you, I went there in college and we were there with a professor, as a young believer who was planning on going into ministry, it was really important for me to hear the importance of strategy. To be in that place and to realize, here I am as someone who loves Jesus, but I'm standing in the place where literally people had to dig out for the sake of their lives. And you can't just, I'm just going to pray. And you can't just do strategy. You have to do both. And I want to ask you, who are your strategic thinkers in your life? Who are the people who help you think practically? We've already talked about the importance of getting soul sharpeners in your life and the prayerful people and all the other ones that we've talked about, vision casters and tail kickers and friends and heart healers. We've talked about all that. But who are your strategic people? And I want to challenge you if you're saying, I don't need a strategic person because I am a strategic person. And I want to say, have any of your strategies ever gone wrong? Even a vision caster needs another vision caster. Even a soul sharpener needs another soul sharpener. Even a practical strategic person like you needs another one or two strategic people to challenge your thinking, to elevate your thinking. You don't want to find out until after the Assyrians have arrived, oh, we didn't build the tunnel the right way. You want to get the best people. Do you see what Hezekiah did? He got advisors in there. These stories, and I could point to so many more, challenge our thinking that we should be able to do it alone. And if we can't do it alone, then something's wrong with us. No, if you're doing it alone, I'm going to be a little rude here, something's wrong with you. God didn't make you to do it alone. Delete that image from your brain. I know it comes because we're Westerners and we believe in this like Western individualization type thing. And you go, well, look at how the West was won. Individual. And I say, well, Lewis had Clark. The Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? And Silver. I mean, it depends on how you want to count the horse. You know, so there's all that stuff there. We got to delete this idea that we should be alone. And I want you to start being proactive and seeking and taking initiative and going, who are the people I'm going to meet with? That's the point of this whole supply line thing. You're setting up meetings once a month that are for you, people pouring into you. And you go, I can't do that. That's selfish. Is it selfish when you meet with other people? Is it selfish when you're supporting others? Then why is it selfish for people to pour into you? How long can you pour from an empty cup? If you're a parent, you're pouring out in your kids. Well, who's pouring into you? If you're a leader and you're in any area, if you're a teacher, if you're supporting other people in any sort of way, who's pouring that back into you? It's so important. Okay, and I just want to encourage you to get that. And we've talked about the circles. The outer circle, like being in church today, super awesome. That's really helpful. Especially when we do potluck, because you get a chance to talk and eat. And then that second circle of like people you're in a life group with or on a ministry team with or whatever that works in your area of work or whatever. Okay, you might be in a mom's group or something like that. That helps get you connected. In our church, we've really responded to this. I'm so thankful for our church. It makes a huge difference for the future of our church when we have over 175 people in our church say, I'm going to get into a life group. And I want to encourage you, don't just sign up. Go every week. Be consistent. Choose it over other things. Rearrange your schedule around being in your group. It makes a difference. And then that inner circle is individuals you meet with that you can say, I would hope you'd have 3 to 5 meetings per month where you'd actually be doing this because it makes such a big difference. And I know that because I've gone through this myself. As I was going through this research, because I did this for my doctoral research, I started going, well, what am I doing? So here's a picture. We've handed out cards. Here's a picture of what my card looked like 3 or 4 years ago. And what I want you to do is I want you to be able to write this down, and you can have a very simple version of this. Who's your soul sharpener? Who's your vision caster? Who's your tail kicker? Who's your heart healer? Who's your strategic thinker? And I want you to be honest about where the gaps are. So on mine, I had people who were, I had gaps missing. I had people who had written down, but the fact is those people were struggling themselves and I couldn't actually meet with them. And when I met with them, I was more helping them than they were helping me. Right? Which happens. And that's okay. It just means they're not going to be a supply line in my life. There's no shame on that. It just means the meeting wasn't going to be primarily about pouring into me. I had to be honest about this. I've talked to other people that their primary supply lines are 1 or 2 people or their family. Which means if anything happens in your family, all your supply lines are gone. You want to diversify where you're getting support from so that it's not going to all be in one thing. I've had people where they go, my spouse is my only supply line. I've talked to church planners and they go, my spouse is my only supply line because they've been burned and they don't trust people in their church because they've been hurt by them. And I go, who's your soul sharper? My wife. Who's your vision caster? My wife. And I go through the whole thing to my wife and I go, so how does the conversation go? Can your wife do it all? And they go, no. And then I go talk to the wife and they go, I wish he had friends. You know, your spouse doesn't want to be your only supply line. Your kids don't want to be your only supply line. Your parents don't want to be. You got to find different ways of doing that. It makes a huge difference. And the people who do this, they are stronger leaders. They are healthy people. We are living in a time of isolation and disconnection. People want to know that their leaders have healthy network of relationships and they go, I want to learn from you, not just how to do my job, but how do you do relationship? How do you do life together? Do you have a social life? Do you do anything fun? Can I model my life after you? Are you alone? And it used to be that the older generations could model healthy connections, but what's happening is the older generations are often more disconnected than the younger generations because their friends have moved or died and they haven't found new people to connect with. And so we have a generation of people, 60 plus, who are isolated and lonely. Our whole nation is lonely. I want you to be honest. I want you to write this down. My friends, I don't know if you know what I'm doing. I'm doing something strategic and practical with you right now. And some of you are resisting it. I can see it and feel it in the room of going, thanks for showing me this graph. I'm not going to do it. That's okay. That's okay. But I'm going to give you some strategy about how to get support in your life. And I hope you'll take it. I took it. So now this is what my supply lines look like. And I know you can't read that. I get it, but it's on my desk and it changes every few months because supply lines don't stay static. People are not static. Things change. People move. I move. Someone who I'm meeting with may not be as helpful anymore. Things change, but can you please be intentional about seeking out support? Can you go get those people in your life? That's the whole point of this series. That's the whole point of the book. And you know that my heartbeat is for church planters, and that's who I've been meeting with. And God's opened up some great opportunities because I'm actually able to share this with like whole groups of pastors in our denomination. And God's opening up some really new doors, which is exciting to go, can you get more support? Because right now, and I don't know about your area of work, but our clergy realize how lonely they are. And they know that they need help. Now, whether they're actually going to do it or not, that's where I have to challenge them a little bit. But they know that they're lonely. And I bet you do too. We're going to talk about strategic thinkers. And one of the important things is it's in anything. You can think strategically about anything. But I want you to really think about people who are in the same situation you're in. So if you're a pastor, find other pastors. If you're a church planner, find other church planners. If you're a parent, find other parents. If you're a police officer, find another police officer. If you're an accountant, find other accountants. It makes a difference, especially if these people are wise and godly. Okay? They don't necessarily have to be younger than you are. They don't necessarily have to be older than you are. Okay? But you want to find those people that you can meet with for collegiality, and you want to bounce ideas off them, and you want to get their ideas back. The way you find people is you go, can I ask you some questions? And you have a meeting. If that meeting goes well, then you do another one. You just go in with questions. The problem with many of us is you're not curious. You think you have all the answers. You're not humble enough to go, I have questions. And I do that all the time. I ask questions all the time. I love asking questions. I love being curious. And people are like, don't you already know this? I'm like, yeah, but I want your take on it. That's just way more fun. That's how you do it. So I'm going to show you a clip from a movie called Ford versus Ferrari. And it's about a race called the Le Mans. And Ford wanted to win this race. And so he hired the best person he could, Carroll Shelby, to build a car and get the best driver he could. But the problem is there's someone else who wants to be in control of everything. But this person did not know how to win a race. And so there's a little debate going on in the movie. And here's my point in this. Are you going to get some of the best people to challenge you to be the best? Or are you going to get mediocre strategic people to help you continue being mediocre? For many of us, we don't have strategic thinkers because we're too afraid and we're too ashamed to go get great, amazing mentors. But I tell you what, when you get great coaches, when you get great mentors in your life who will push you and challenge you to think and who will believe that you can do it, it's going to be like stepping into a car that's going to scare the pants off of you. Let's watch the clip.
You ready? The name on the middle of that steering wheel should tell you that I was born ready, Shelby. Hit it.
Atta boy.
Oh, it's got a little kick. Got it, bro.
Oh, there we go. Good God, Mr. Levy. You okay, sir?
Oh, oh, we got it.
About right now, the uninitiated have a tendency to soil themselves.
Mr. Ford, you okay? Mr. Ford, you all right?
I had no idea.
I had no idea. I wish my daddy, he were alive to see this. To feel this.
Now, this is not a machine just anybody can get in and easily control.
Absolutely not. I had no idea.
Now, you want to win Le Mans. You really want to take first place. Ken Miles is the man to do it.
Good timing.
Now, he knows this car because he helped me build it.
Shelby, you know I've already appointed Leo Beebe director.
Which is exactly why I'm talking to you. Now, you let Ken Miles race Daytona. If he wins, he gets to drive Le Mans.
And if he doesn't?
Ford Motor Company gets full ownership of Shelby American. Lock, stock, and brand forever.
Why is Shelby willing to put his whole brand on the line? Because he knows he's got the best driver. And I want to challenge you today, because you know I'm a little bit of a tail kicker myself. Get the best coaches. Get the best strategy people in your life, the people who share your chair. Don't be afraid to get in the car, even if it's going to move you to tears. You got to ask, do I want to actually live the goal that God has for me? Or do I want to just play it safe? Or if you want to turn it to the analogy of Hezekiah, you got to ask, am I just going to let the invaders have the water? Or am I going to do the work to fortify the city and be ready for the attacks that are going to come in life? God has made you to make a difference. Get strategic people in your life. I'm hoping right now as I'm talking, you're already thinking about some of those people. I should ask them out for coffee. I got some questions I can talk to them about. Or if you're not, pray about it every day. God, give me a strategic person in my life. Give me a strategic thing in my life. And you're going to have in the next month or two, God's going to answer that prayer. You're going to start talking to someone and they're going to start answering you with some strategy. And you're going to go, can we do coffee? Can we go talk more? Can I set up a meeting with you? Or you're not. I hope you will. Let me give you some key things that strategic thinkers do. The first thing is they're connected to the right people. They're connected to the right people. I meet with church planners and I say, you don't have to know everyone. You just need to know someone who knows everyone. I was meeting with some church planners who were in Sacramento and they introduced me to a guy and they said, this guy is the person who knows everyone in town. He knows everyone. I said, meet with him every month. And every time you got a problem, just go, who would you call for this, this, or this? They seem to just know everyone. I have a friend named Kevin. I meet with him once a month and we talk and I'll often bring up problems. First of all, he's very strategic. He's kind of like, well, here's what I would do, or here's the systems I have set up. Here are the things that I do. Here's the software program I use. Here's whatever. But he also knows people across the country. He goes, you know who you should call? Call this person. And sometimes that's a bummer. I'm just wanting him to give me the answer. But often he'll give me the person who has the answer. And that person actually knows more than Kevin. You got to get connected to the people who are super connected. And that will help unlock things. So when it's like, hey, what are you doing for your yard? What are you doing for your marriage? What are you doing for parenting? What are you doing? Do you know the best people to talk to? How many of you have wasted a lot of time doing trial and error on ideas that weren't that good? How many of you have wasted a lot of time with that in work, in life? You started to realize that wasn't the best ideas. The best ideas tend to rise to the top. But if you don't hear about them, you're going to keep trying all these other ideas, which is why when you meet with a strategic thinker, have someone who has experience in what they're talking about. I say this especially to pastors because everyone in the church tends to think they know what the church should be doing. And I go, did they get training for that? Have they tried this before? No, they just have opinions. So I have to train church planners. You need to talk to experienced people who've made the mistakes and know the best practices, not the person who just walked in hurt from their previous church who wants to tell you what to do. That makes sense? And it's the same in your life. In any field you're in, construction, doesn't matter what it is. Whatever field you're in, you don't want to be experimenting on people's bad ideas. You want to be hearing the best, proven, tried and true ideas in any field. Does that make sense? Get those people, Talk to the best people. I hope you're thinking of those people right now. I hope you will set up a meeting this week or next week and say, I got to get this on my calendar. Second thing strategic thinkers do is they share your chair. We've talked about this. This is getting people who are whatever you think needs your strategy in. You want to get people who are in that same thing. Here's the fact. If you're a pastor, it's really only other pastors who are going to get all the stuff you go through. Otherwise, you spend half of your time trying to define it, but not be rude about it. Like, you know, hey, it's just so tough. And people are like, you get to go to lunch with people all the time. How hard is that, John? That's easy. And I go, yeah, it's like therapy in Starbucks. It's awkward. It's hard. It's important. It's beautiful. I love it. I'm spoiled, but it's hard. And you spend half your time trying to explain it. Talk to my friend Steve here. It's really hard to keep explaining to people what it's like being a police officer. Our law enforcement's gone through a lot. Our teachers. It's hard to explain to parents when they come in, they're frustrated. You're going, do you want to know how hard your kid is? Is that what our teachers do? And went, no, they don't do that. They just go, this is part of the job. But they got to be around other teachers, because when you're around other teachers, you save so much time. It just cuts down how much time. You just kind of get it. You need to be with people who share your chair. If someone who's not in your chair is giving you strategic advice, it might be okay advice, but you don't know exactly if it's going to fit your situation. You want someone who shares your chair so they can really speak in to what you're going through. It's going to give you really, really good advice. Orville Wright was born in 1871. His father was an ordained minister, and Orville was the second youngest of five children. Wilbur and Orville, you guys know the story, worked with gears and machines, and then they moved on to working with gliders, and they took that expertise with gears and with gliders, and they put it together to do the first motor-powered flight on December 17th, 1903. What was the name of the city? Kitty Hawk? Yeah. Okay. They were an incredible source of support for each other. Why? Because they were both experts in what they were doing. They were both sharing the chair. They were at an age where no one really knew what they were doing. No one knew how to do what, everyone was trying different experiments, but they couldn't just ask anyone what to do. They needed people who actually shared the chair. Okay. Soak in the wisdom of people who share your chair. The third thing strategic thinkers do, they're not only connected, they not only share your chair, they understand systems. Now, this is really important because not everyone is a systems thinker. Even if they're strategic, they're not a systems thinker. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Wilbur died in 1912, which left Orville with kind of a major supply line in his life gone. But I think what Orville did was so genius. He sold the Wright Brothers Aviation Company, and he went to work at a place called the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics, NACA. And he was surrounded and supported with like-minded people. And in his lifetime, the speed of the airplane increased to almost 1,000 miles per hour. This opened the door for space travel. And 10 years after Orville's death, NACA was transformed into the National Aeronautics and Space Agency, known as NASA. He could have just chosen to say, I'm just going to make money. I'm just going to live off my fame and name. But instead, he said, I'm going to be surrounded by people who understand aeronautics and avionics. I'm going to actually learn. I'm going to be around these people. I'm going to be part of a system. Most people don't understand systems. They don't understand how things work together. They don't understand even, I want you to think about technical things like computers or plumbing or whatever. Most people don't get that. You need to get some experts in your life who know how to do these things. And when you do, especially if you can get surrounded by them, it will challenge your thinking. And again, you know, I spent a lot of my time coaching pastors. Most of them are not wired for systems thinking. Like, how does, don't say amen that loudly. Okay, so as you're doing this, how do you do this? Or how do you talk to people about groups? If you're setting up a care ministry, I'll just do all the care ministry, is what most pastors say. And then they wonder why they're burnt out and overflowing, like with bad stuff. Right? Instead of going, no, set up a life group ministry, set up a care team, have the care done in this system here. And then the first level of care is on the group. The second level of care is to the pastor. The third level of care is when you refer it to a professional. We're just in the middle. That's a system. And people go, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. I can do that. Yes, you can. Go for it. Let me know if you need any help. You see how that works? And I don't know what this would mean in your area of life, in terms of your job and your station of life and your singleness or your marriage or whatever. But I know if you get strategic systems thinking people, they're going to help you because they just naturally think this way. Most people don't, which means you got to find the person, you got to see if you have a good connection, and then you got to meet with them all the time. That's the challenge to this whole series, and I hope you can do it. Let me ask you this question. Where is the closest gas station to church? Anyone know? Yeah. Look at that. People are like, it depends on which direction you're driving in. You just know. You just know. Do you know where the closest gas station is to your house? Yeah. You see how this works? You know. I don't start arguing about it right now. It's not the point of the sermon. Okay? You just know where to get supply lines for your car. You just know it. Because you have this, I can't let the tank go empty. I have to make sure, because if I don't have fuel, I'm not going anywhere. It's the same thing with support. And I know for many of you, are like, where am I supposed to find these people? And I've given you the three circle strategy. Okay, will you do it? Will you fill up? I feel like for many of us, we're pushing our cars down the road going, isn't this how it's supposed to work? We're out of fuel. We won't fill up. We refuse to ask for help. We're pushing the car down thinking, I feel like something's missing. Okay? We're here today. You're doing great. We're in life groups. You're doing great. Get onto a team if you're not. You're doing great. I want to ask you to get into that last circle, getting some people one-on-one in your life who will pour into you and actually build you up. You might have some failures along the way. I've had people I go, Can we meet? Can you pour into me? And I ask them questions. And then within like 2 weeks, they're saying to me, but I have some things I need to talk to you about as my pastor. Or even if they're another pastor and they're kind of like, they're pouring out their life to me. I'm like, okay, well, this isn't working anymore. Like I needed someone to pour into me. Things can happen. You can change things up. It's okay. But my hope is you'll go out and you'll get your strategic thinkers. It'll make a huge difference. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, help us to go find our strategic thinkers. You have them out there in our lives. Help us to find them. Help us to meet with them. Help us to be humble and curious. And God, I pray that you will just unleash the people in this room and all the different areas of life that you have us stationed. And Lord, let us do great things for your kingdom. We pray this in your name, Jesus. All God's people said, amen.